Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our top story this morning: strikes against Iran and then called off. So no strikes. We bring in Colonel Cedric Layton, former Joint Chiefs of Staff Deputy Director, former Air Force Intelligence Officer, and President of Cedric Layton Associates. Colonel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So let's start with the breaking news. How unusual, how rare is it to call off a strike after the planes are already in the air?
It's really rare. I mean, sometimes that happens in exercises, but in real life, it's extremely rare unless you're trying to send a message or you have second thoughts. And, you know, of course, I'm not sure which one, you know, we're dealing with here. But, yeah, this is a very, very rare scenario. I have never personally experienced that for a real-world operation.
Apparently, concerns came up about civilian casualties. How come that wasn't talked about beforehand?
Well, it always should be talked about beforehand, because that's, you know, one of the key things that we always look at is what, you know, we call collateral damage, which is a you know, kind of an antiseptic term that is used to describe civilian casualties. And anytime you look at targets, you got to, you know, you have to look at exactly what you're going to be hitting, who lives there, you know, are there hospitals there, are there schools there? So the effect on civilians has to be considered before you even commit to conducting a strike operation of the type that supposedly we were going to do in Iran. And that's really should be one of the main considerations, not the only consideration, certainly, but one of the main considerations before you go out and do something like this.
Are there any tactical concerns to calling off a strike after it's already been launched? And have we tipped our hand now to some degree?
Well, I think we have tipped our hand. You know, one of the things that, of course, this could be all about is, you know, sending a signal and saying, okay, we can do these things. We're not going to this time, but here's what you can expect. So it's a message, but it's also telling the Iranians that we have these targets in mind. We're going to go after certain things, and we expect, you know, to cause a lot of damage to you. And, of course, what they're going to do in response is they're going to shift things around so that they can minimize damage to their infrastructure, to you know, the targets that we would be going after. So there's a lot of interplay that goes on here, but the main point really is that it can have a major effect on tactical operations. You know, if you've got aircraft in the air, you've obviously you know, fueled them up, you've got them going to a certain point. You know, there are always safety issues, you know, when it comes to any type of military equipment, but especially planes and ships. And so all of this, you know, has to be choreographed in a very finite way. And to call something like that off makes for a really big operational challenge for the commanders.
We're talking to former Joint Chiefs of Staff Deputy Director Colonel Cedric Layton. How rare is it to have congressional leaders invited into the Situation Room, such as was the case yesterday?
Well, it's done when there are major operations under consideration, for one thing. Now, they'll do it for other military or intelligence scenarios when they want to brief them on certain specific things, and are also looking for congressional support for either a, you know, negotiating tactic or a military strike or something like that. But to have, I believe there were 20, the top 20 leaders of the House and Senate were invited yesterday afternoon to the White House, and to have that big a gathering there to discuss something like this is rare, and you're fortunate. Unfortunately, we usually don't do these kinds of operations, but when we do them, that's the kind of protocol that we usually go through. And so in this case, rare, but there's precedent for it.
Would you say the proportional response to the downed drone would be an airstrike on military targets?
It could be. And again, it depends on how extensive the military strike is. One thing we have to consider is the fact that, although the drone costs a lot of money, $110 to $130 million a piece, depending on the exact model of drone, the key thing to remember is that not one single person was killed in this incident. So that's one part of it. So if you, want to do a proportional response, you try to have minimal casualties on the Iranian side as well. So, military strike would be proportional potentially to that, as long as the magnitude doesn't exceed the type of incident that that we suffered in this particular case.
Some people have complained that the president doesn't have the authority to attack Iran, but he's using the same AUMF from 2001 that President Bush and Obama used repeatedly.
Yes, and in fact, the administration is trying to make the case that they can use the AUMF, the authorization to use military force that President Bush started in 2001 in the wake of 9/11. There is a lot of argument that he really should have a different AUMF to go after Iran, and I would tend to side with that viewpoint. However, in self-defense and to conduct precision strikes, the president has traditionally had the authority to do so, even without congressional authorization.
Colonel, let's rewind just a bit. All this began with President Trump withdrawing from the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Do you think that withdrawal was justified? Was Iran acting in bad faith?
Well, actually, when it comes very specifically to the Iran nuclear deal, they actually were complying with it. Now, one can complain about the specific aspects of the deal, whether or not it really did all the things that it was supposed to do. But both independent observers as well as U.S. observers and European observers have said that the Iranians were actually in compliance with the deal. Now they are, have basically signaled their intent not to comply with certain provisions of that deal. So this could have very well precipitated that, and the sanctions could very well have precipitated the Iranian efforts against the Global Hawk drone and other things that the Iranians are doing. So now they're really behaving badly. Before, they were doing it in other fields, but not directly related to the nuclear aspect of things.
Okay, Colonel, where do you think we go from here?
Well, that is really the $64,000 question, or maybe the several billion-dollar question in this case. It's really hard to say. It really depends on how the Iranians behave next. The president gave them several off-ramps yesterday. In particular, there was one that caught my attention where he talked about somebody being basically incompetent or not following orders in the shootdown of the Global Hawk. It really doesn't work that way in Iran. It's a very rigid command and control structure, but the president gave them, a possible way to exit from this escalation of tensions. I don't think they'll take him up on it, but what I do foresee is a lot of back and forth, but perhaps a few more incidents of this type. Hopefully none, but I'm afraid that there may be some. And I think what we'll see is, probably a slow burn of tensions that ratchet themselves up over the course of the next few months, and that is something that we have to be very careful with.
Great insight. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Have yourself a fine weekend.
Thank you so much, Gary. You as well. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. Colonel Cedric Layton, former Joint Chiefs of Staff Deputy Director, former Air Force Intelligence Officer, and the president of Cedric Layton Associates.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.